Hey team, welcome back to the Man That Can Project podcast. Once again, thank you all for sharing your screenshots of the episodes and writing your reviews. It means a lot. And I, you know, definitely get a kick out of seeing you guys share episodes that you're definitely getting value from. So today's episode is no different. Please, please, please share it, you know, on all social platforms, share it with your friends, your family, anyone who you think would get immense value from it. I got to sit down with a good mate of mine, Matty Boyce, and we've been trying to do this for ages, but you know, we're both super busy, so our times have always been mismatched or something's popped up. So we've managed to make it happen while I'm chilling out here in Bali, and Matty was down at Burleigh, so we managed to get roughly 45 minutes worth of absolute bombs. So before I dive into it, just want to remind you all guys, in 2 weeks, so that'll be at the start of October 2019, there's three more coaching spots opening for the one-on-one breakthrough coaching program. So to learn more about that, you can head over to my Instagram, okay, or the website, themanthatcan.com, and you'll be able to read a little bit more or watch a video on my Instagram to learn more about that. But regardless, if you want to find out if it's a good fit for you or if I can help you, book a 15-minute consult call. You can do that on my, once again, Instagram, and you can just find a spot there to book it in, and we'll have a quick yarn. It's enough from me. Enjoy the episode and please, please, please share it and write a review. Thanks, team.
All right, guys. So we're sitting here. I'm in Bali and Matty is in Burleigh, and it's an absolute pleasure. We've been trying to make this happen for a very long time, but obviously times just never matched up and stuff came up. So after probably 5 months of trying, I've now got Matty Boyce on the episode. So Matty and I met. How long ago did we meet, Matty?
Oh man, we've been bumping into each other for years, but we've never actually properly met up until about 6 months, I want to say.
Yep. And it's, I've always seen what you've been doing from afar. You know, you're involved in a few things that I was like, nice, you know, CrossFit and then some holistic stuff. And then obviously we officially sort of crossed paths at a men's weekend. Before that, we're on a few swaps, but we sort of were drawn to each other just because I think I've been stalking you on the gram for a fair while.
Yeah, likewise, brother. I think our paths have been on the same sort of same route, but we've never crossed paths until now, which is about bloody time, eh?
Oh, you're telling me, mate. And so one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on the show, mate, is your story and also what you're up to, especially in Brisbane and again in Sydney and stuff now. A lot of the stuff that you're doing in the mental health space, but not only for just men and women, but even for the youth, is incredible, and it's really empowering. It inspires me to work harder and do more. And obviously, every time we have a conversation, a lot of great stuff comes from it. Even 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago now, when we did the Father's Day walk and talk, which was a huge success, and I know we're going to keep growing that. It's going to get better and better. I think you actually just walked one of the treks this morning, didn't you, along the beach? One of the possibilities for the next one.
I did. I mapped out the Gold Coast 5K route, so it was beautiful.
Perfect. So, Matty, I want to pass it over to you. Before, I guess, I share, you know, there's a cool experience we had when we were away at that men's retreat, and I hope you'll share it. If not, I will. But it's really what I feel was the connecting point for us, where I was like, this dude's fucking legit and a mate that I want to have in my life. But if you just fill everyone in a little bit more about who you are, how you got on this sort of path of what you're doing, and share a little bit more about, you know, Cowgoods Living, Your Prep, okay, and Life Warriors, the three businesses and charities that you got going on. I'd love to share that with the audience.
Yeah, for sure. I can give the little rundown. So essentially born and bred in Perth, WA. Grew up surfing and playing rugby league my entire life. School was never the best place for me. It was never a one to fit in, whether I was the one kid that played rugby league in the school, or was the drifter that did never really found much time. And I think school was never really the place for me. So left school in week two of year 11 to pursue chippy apprenticeship, much the same as you. So became a fully fledged hammer swinger. Stayed in that for a while. Ended up moving to Brizzy to chase the rugby league career. As all hopefuls do. If it's not Brisbane, it's France, they tell me.
Yeah. They're much more nicer.
Much for much. But moved to Brizzy, played footy for a few years, continued on the chippy journey, And whilst playing footy, met a bloke by the name of Justin Cullen, who me and him became, some sort of brotherhood that I haven't hadn't before. We were essentially inseparable. Spent every day speaking to each other, or out in the town, or going to surf, meeting all his friends, because I didn't really have a big network of my own. So I was in touch with his mates and the crew he grew up with down in Cabarita, so that was really cool. And then, just gone 4 years now, he went on a surf trip and he never returned from that surf trip. So he passed away in an accident on the boat, which rocked everyone's life. But I particularly took it pretty hard, not because my loss was any bigger than anyone else's in his life, just because I hadn't really experienced that degree of loss, and I definitely have never done any sort of mindset and mindfulness, prepared myself for that journey I was about to embark. So I got into a pretty dark place, started hammering some Valium for a while there, pushed everyone that cared about me out of my life. I don't know if I would ever say I was completely depressed, but I was definitely in a depressed state. High levels of anxiety, the odd suicidal thoughts, not so much tendencies, but, on my darkest days, I was definitely like, oh, man, I just wanted to kind of be with him, essentially. I'm not sure where it came from, but it was just overpowering me a little. And I found the only way that was kind of bringing me back, brother, was food and good nutrition, and connecting back with my first. I started with my parents, then I started connecting with Justin, and I were in a trio called the Wolfpack, who were pretty cool. And the other bloke was Dion, and I'd kind of shut him out a bit as well, even though he was going through the grief as well. So I connected back with him, and then kind of slowly but surely. Not piece myself back together, because I was never broken. I was just pushed down. So eventually resurfaced and invited colour, I guess, back into my life. Through that, started a charity which we're currently building, which is called Life Warriors, to educate the youth on, so they can be skilled with the tools that I wasn't, to be able to deal with that adversity, whether it's death or jobs or what life throws you. And also started a meal prep company to help families connect over a shared meal, and a clothing line to help people wear a message. So done a fair bit, all living through the virtue of losing my best mate and trying to help others going through something similar.
It's a pretty powerful story. I loved how it's interesting, actually, where you said you don't know whether you were depressed, but you had obviously experienced that depressed state, and then you had suicidal thoughts, not tendencies. And it's interesting, even just hearing that, how you can differentiate between that. And I think what I took from that, and what I hope lands with a lot of people, is that being depressed doesn't define you. It's just a state, just like being happy, being all those other emotions. But a lot of us tend to then just become undepressed, because whether it's you go down the path of antidepressants, or you keep telling people you're depressed or whatever it is, it becomes a part of your identity. So I like how you didn't allow that to become a part of your identity. You just had those sort of depressed states at time to time, which is really cool. How do you...
Yeah, I look back on it now and I think I was definitely having depressed days, but I refused to sort of title myself as someone who was depressed. Not that that's a bad thing to title yourself, if it's just for my personality, it works better to say, like, I still deal with anxiety quite often, but I don't title myself as someone with anxiety. I have anxious days.
Yeah. I think that's an important thing. It's just like, if you want to break through, we've got to take back control. And if we identify as that, we're not really, in my experience, in my opinion, we're not really taking ownership and control of that. How do you juggle everything, right? You got one of the biggest things in this day and age is people say they don't have time. You're doing a lot of shit. I know you're renovating your house. You've got those three businesses and charity. Right? You've got a relationship. You've got mates hanging out. We've just started the walk and talk. Like, how do you find time to get it all done?
Yeah, it's a good question, mate. I find scheduling super, super important. And if if I was going to say, in an ideal world, I'd spend a Sunday afternoon writing down my calendar, but it just doesn't end up happening because, as the story goes, I don't have time. But I'm trying to prioritize at the moment. It's, for me, it's...
Just cutting out there.
My energy to where I'm going to sit. I suggest friends really help me.
Hello. You there? So you just cutting out a bit.
Yeah, you got me?
Yeah, gotcha.
So I was saying, I'm somebody who I can run my energy levels to almost zero. I'm very fortunate in that, where I don't suggest that for 99% of the population. So I also am still coaching it across the gym. Like you said, I'm renovating a house. I've got a beautiful partner who I have to hold that relationship at a high regard with. And then I've also got friends with that. It's important that you surround yourself with a support network, and my support network is my mates, obviously yourself included in that. So it's definitely a juggling act, but everything sort of falls in place when you're driven by a purpose, I think. And it's a pretty corny thing to say, really. But I find, like, I spend three days in the kitchen a week, and then I get to spend the rest of the week however I see fit. Like, I'm sitting at Burley Beach right now after going for a 5 kilometer walk and a swim. So I've got time. I just got to make it.
Let's talk about purpose, and that's obviously, like you said, it sounds a bit corny, and it's also something that a lot of people are trying to achieve or create, but a lot of people don't know where to start. How do you first of all know you're on purpose or like aligned? And then secondly, how did you get there?
Yeah, so what shits me in today's society is you pick up any marketing book that's been written in the last 5, probably 10 years, and you'll find the words vision, purpose, mission, find your why. I love Simon Sinek, so I'm under the glass there.
Yeah.
And it's causing a lot of people to go real shallow with their purpose, because they think if they don't have a purpose, then they don't have a vision. I think it's, you know your purpose when you land on it, trust me. But I found mine through going through my own experience. I realized that I had no education on how to deal with my mental illnesses, that I had plenty of education on how to do Simcoe's Tanner and Coco.
Yeah.
I had no education on how to hold a relationship, but I could name capital cities and country I'm never going to go to. And so I was learning all this stuff in school. So my purpose is to educate and bring humanity together, whether that's through food, community events, walk and talk, for example, or whether that's through technology and bringing people together through Facebook groups, such as you've got your group, the Man That Can Facebook group. I think those kind of things are super powerful avenues to pursue. But I always try to say, don't push to find your purpose. I do a lot of work in schools, and I'm dealing with these very fragile minds, where there's a lot of people, a lot of business coaches out there going, you need to find your values, you need to find your vision and your mission and your purpose. When the fact of the matter is, not everyone's a visionary. Some people are followers, and those two titles aren't negative or positive. Nelson Mandela was a visionary and a leader, and he created followers that, are changing the world. Richard Branson's a visionary who's creating, 100+ businesses which are slowly changing the world. And he's got millions of followers, myself included, in that. So not everyone has to be a visionary. Not everyone has to find their purpose in terms of changing the world. Their purpose might be to find someone like Lachie Stewart, who's doing really good space in the mental health, and their purpose is to follow and to support him. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's... you said it perfectly there, like there's roles for everyone, and I think everyone feels like in order to be successful or have that kind of lifestyle that they want, they need to be the leader. And you just got to find where you serve best. Like I feel like I'm a visionary, but I also feel like I just like going first and then building a team around and stepping away and then facilitating that space. But people often ask me, like, how do you know your own purpose, and how do you find your purpose? And we've had this conversation before, but like when I finished footy, I reckon since I finished school, actually, I've done so many different jobs. And if I didn't like it, I just left it. I didn't sit around. So many people stay stuck because they're like, the fear of the unknown holds them back. And they're like, oh, what if I can't get another job like this, or what if I don't like my next job? And I'm like, good, because you're going to keep stepping to where you want to go. And, you know, it might take you 20 years, it might take you 2 months, it might take you, you know, who knows, to find what really lights you up. Like, I did all these things from, you know, being a glassy to a bartender to a builder to a bricklayer to a truck driver to a PT. You know, I've done all these things, and from all of those experiences, I've taken parts that I like, and I've also identified parts that I don't like, which has allowed me to sort of create, you know, this overall thing of what I really want to spend my time doing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you've nailed it. You've absolutely nailed it. But I think where we get caught up, I want to say caught up, where we get caught up is people are trying to find their purpose instead of trying to find what they love.
Like, yep.
You and I both love building communities. I love going deep with someone that I've never spoke to before and finding out, you know, what's their biggest burden in life? What's holding them back? What's challenging them?
Can we talk about that for a second? Because if for those jump on Maddie's Instagram, you'll see he's a tough looking dude, solid, can lift a lot of weight, got a tattoo, can surf, do all these things. So if I didn't know you.
Yeah, man. I agree.
I would see you as, you know, I wouldn't picture, you know, just from a stereotype and assumption, I wouldn't assume you're as open-minded and connected as you are, right? So for you, and there's a lot of dudes who can probably relate to your backstory, what took you on that, obviously you're made, but what allowed you to get to that place where you're seeking out those deeper conversations more so than just beer, footy, girls, talk?
Look, I've been in the mental health, and I call it mental illness, if we have depression or anxiety, but mental health is, everyone deals with their mental health. So I've been in the mental health space for as long as I can remember, from when I was 16 playing first grade back home, and I was always trying to check in on people. So how I kind of dropped my guard or took my mask off, I like to say, is when I was a chippy, I used to rock up to site with this mask on. You know, like you said, I had the tattoos, I had the nail bag on, I had my CFMEU stickers on my hard hat. Like, I had this tough guy bravado. He's like, don't fuck with me, I'm here to do my job and I want to get home and get to the pub. And I just got tired. I got tired of pretending to be someone I wasn't. Like, I'm not the tough guy. My tattoos don't define me. I may have a heart issue, but I'm bloody gooey as anyone. If you get one beer into me and I'll tell you I love you.
So I didn't even have to get off. One.
That's very true, actually. We'll get to that. Yeah. But when I was a chippy, no one used to sit with me as a smoker. I was isolated purely because of who I was pretending to be. Like, people within my carpentry crew, yeah, I got along with them, but the brickies, the sparkies, didn't have a relationship with them. So the second I took my mask off and I was like running up and down the hallways of the construction site singing Whitney Houston and started like actually being what lit me up, I would get the smoko, and every Tom, Dick and Harry would be sitting with me. We'd be talking about their kids going to school, their relationship with their wife or their husband. And I completely changed as a person. And that was, I think I was maybe like probably 18 when that happened. So I've been in the game for a while, and I noticed the biggest thing I try to push people to do is take your mask off and let people see who you truly are, because you become like the North Pole. People are gravitated to you and they want to be around you. It's infectious.
Yep. True. I can't wait to see you singing Whitney Houston. Send me a video. Mate, so you said before, obviously, this is why, you know, one of the big things how we connected in the mental health space. Like, you're doing huge things there, and you even did an Instagram TV just before, which I was watching, and you were talking about. Obviously, it's been a massive 2 weeks here in Australia and probably globally with Are You OK Day and World Suicide Prevention Day. And obviously, the suicide of a famous AFL player, but then obviously, you know, talked about the statistics of, you know, what's happening, 8 suicides a day here in Australia.
Yeah.
Why are you so passionate about that space? What's sort of your vision in that space?
I think it's hard to define why. I think I'm just driven by an insatiable fire inside me, to be blunt, stop people killing themselves. I've seen it tear families apart. I'll never forget when I was chippy back home, one of the guys I used to work with, and he won't mind sharing this, his father hung himself at work, and this particular bloke went to the site where he knew his father would be and went and checked the entire site head to toe, except his office, because subconsciously he knew what had happened. And I watched it tear him apart. He had months off work, and then his first day back, it was just me and him working together in Mandurah, about an hour from Perth.
Yeah.
And the drive back home, we connected, and he was just shattered. His life was obviously turned upside down. Him and his sister were left without a father, his mum left without a husband.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just like tore people apart. And that's not any experience. Like, we've all been touched by suicide. And you see what it does for these families. So I'm driven by not so much the person that commits suicide. I'm driven by the families and the communities that are affected by it. And if I can play a small part in bringing that number down from 8.6 at the moment, not that we can get 8.6 to the human. Yeah. If I can get that number down to 4 by 2025, which is my goal, then, you know, I don't want to bring kids into the world with that number still being 8. I want to be able to look at my kids in 10 years' time and say, Dad was one of the people that stood up alongside many other people and did something about this epidemic.
Hell yeah, man. We're definitely doing that. So let's share more about that moment.
The men's weekend?
Yeah, let's go there.
Let's go there.
Because I think the reason why I want to share it is that for me, and I don't know what you like, it was so far out of my comfort zone of anything I've ever done.
Oh man, I was trembling with fear.
And when I was asked to be a part of it, I was like, "But this is weird." But then, like, going through it, it was game changing. You know, as much as it was weird, it was as well.
Yeah, man, I'd love to tell the story. I've told multiple people about it. So essentially, Lockie and I were away for the weekend with a group of amazing people that are creating something really special in a men's only event called Manifest. You can check it out. But we went through a period where everyone could tell I was holding back. I wasn't giving my all. I was a little bit disconnected. There was numerous reasons why I was disconnected. It was a massive week for me. I was feeling emotional, you know, everything that goes with that. And it was my turn to get on the hot seat. So the hot seat where you jump up in front of everyone. It was across there, I believe. So it's me versus 11 people staring at me.
Yeah.
And I had to open up with what I was struggling with. And my biggest struggle was that I never got to say goodbye to myself. The night before he went away on the surf, that he wanted to go out for dinner. And I said I couldn't because I had a staff meeting. Of all things. And then I think I just, you know, sudden death is so hard to deal with because you have no prior warning. Like, I think up until about literally 6 months ago, I was still like, days on holidays, he'll be back. And I still battle with that every day. It's probably something that will never go away. But we got to share an opportunity where Devon, who was taking me through this little segment, said, who in the group reminds you the most of Justin? And it was hands down you, because of the qualities you bring in integrity, compassion, love. You pretty much embodied Justin. And you also have the same shitty facial hair as he had. Yeah. I'm glad this isn't video. So we got up in front of everyone. We got real close, nose touching almost. And it was super uncomfortable for both of us, and I could feel how uncomfortable it was for you. And it was just equally as uncomfortable for me. And considering we hadn't really connected yet on a real deep level, it was pretty intense.
100%.
And they essentially talked me and walked me through envisioning Justin in your body, which if you had asked me to do 4 years ago, I would have told you you're a clown. But yeah, I got there. To the point where I could almost feel his presence. And I just got to say, like what I wanted to say. Like, I'm sorry I wasn't there. I miss you. You know, I'm doing everything I am today. So I like live for two of us. And just kind of said, look, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I wasn't there. Not that it was my responsibility, but that was a burden that I was carrying for a long time. So it was my opportunity to say, I'm sorry I wasn't there to save you or to help you. And I got to say goodbye and that I loved him, and then we were finished. But I don't think our relationship will ever die now, you and I, because of what we shared at the beginning of it. I feel like we've got each other for life now.
Yeah, exactly. It was powerful, man. Like, even just having to hold eye contact, that's pretty unreal experience. And as much as it, I mean, that whole experience was focusing on for you, I shared with you after. I was like, going into that week that I felt like, you know, 5 years ago that I've changed my life, I've lost a lot of my good mates who had the similar qualities to me, and like sort of getting a bit, you know, out there, you know, I guess rustic is how I describe it. I'm trying to not make that offensive as to you, but when we had that moment, I was like, fuck yeah, he serves, he's got the same different values. And, you know, we're sort of now on that same path. So for me, it was a fucking unreal thing because I was sort of looking for that mate that did all that sort of shit.
Yeah, brother.
So for me, it was just powerful. So let's, before we wrap up in a minute, what are a few things you would, and especially obviously, you know, this is predominantly a male audience, so obviously the ladies listening, passing on to dads, brothers, partners, sons, whatever, but also you can probably take this advice on yourself. What are a few things you'd share with 15-year-old Matty?
Yeah. Oh, man, I'd love to go back and chat to him. So I half lost you there, but you want me to share what I would say to 15-year-old Matty and how
yes.
to help him?
Yeah. Yeah. Correct. Yeah, brother. So, what's some advice you'd ask for give to 15-year-old Maddie?
Brother, advice I would give to 15-year-old Maddie. I could share the world with him, but I got three biggies. I'll share. The first one is stop putting so much damn pressure on yourself. You're 15. You're going to live to 100. Chill out and just enjoy the process. At 15, I thought I had to have $1 million in my bank account, the nice car and the house. And at 27, I got a house, which is not nice. And I definitely don't have $1 million in my bank account. And I'm absolutely fine. I'm a quarter of the way through my life. Stop stressing. The second piece would be to get good at brain dumping. So brain dumping is something I try to do daily, where I take pen and paper. You may want to use a note on your phone, whatever. But I take a pen and paper and I dump everything that's in my mind to clear space for new stuff. We've only got so much capacity upstairs. We've got to get rid of the fog sometimes. When I'm feeling particularly anxious, a brain dump is the best thing in the world for me. And number three is just love every second you have with those in your life that count. You know, like, really embrace it. Put your phone away. When you're with your family, connect with them. Get to know about, you know, your dad's childhood. Get to know about your mum's first job. And then your mates, like, really, really connect with them. There's a time and place to text them. When you're in front of them, isn't the time. Connect with them, and, you know, at 15, you can change, you know, we can change the world with one little act of gratitude and kindness a day. They're my three hot tips for 15-year-old Manny.
Powerful, bro. Is there anything else you feel you'd like to share before we jump off? I know you've got a wealth of knowledge.
Yeah, I could share forever. But the biggest thing is that in today's society, man, we're tired. We're dealing with this old school mentality of, like, not males alone, males and females, and, you know, males, females, and anyone else all fall into the category. But the toughen up attitude and the should be right attitude and the, you know, man up stuff, it's not applicable anymore. And the fact that we're losing 8 a day shows that. So it's time to be compassionate, to build our networks, and to really be that open to connection. They're too easy to judge people these days. And if we just take a bit of a look in the mirror every now and then, I think we're going to have a much better society.
100%, I think we're doing more. Where can people find you, Matty? On social media or websites? Or
Burley Point.
So yeah.
Most places now, probably the best place to find me and the businesses is jump on Instagram. I think my Instagram handle is m.boyce.
It is.
Pretty sure. It is? Okay, cool. Yeah. m.boyce, and then there's links to all my businesses and plenty of blogs and information from there. But yeah, anyone can reach out. I'm an open book. Anyone wants to chat, find out, you know, my experiences or my network. And I know Lockie's the same. Just reach out to us. We're all here to help. No one's alone anymore.
Legend, man. I appreciate your time, man. Thanks so much for sharing all that with everyone. I'll make sure I drop
brother, your
handles in the bio when we get that out. So if you're listening,
cool, bro.
Not live, this happened on the 19th of September 2019.
Super great. Cool.